All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, talking to you from Queens, here in the borough of Queens, New York City, the 21st day of December, 2021. I do want to remind you that I write a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks, and you can sign up for that by going to miningstocks.com, miningstocks.com, or call our office during normal work hours at 718-457-1426. I would encourage you also to consider signing up for Chen Lin's letter, What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling? You can do that by going to chenpicks.com. Chen writes, really focuses on the biotechs, and there are definitely some very exciting stories in the biotech sector. He also focuses on the mining exploration sector as well. What is Chen buying? What is Chen selling? And Michael Oliver, if he's with us today, he was supposed to be, but we're having some difficulty getting a hold of him. We'd like to plug his letter as well. It's olivermsa.com for Michael's letter, which is... has to do with structure and momentum, a very unique letter that I found to be very, very helpful to me personally, and that's why we have Michael on every other week. I do want to thank all of you for listening to the show, making one of the more popular shows on the Voice America Business Channel, and encourage you to continue sending along whatever comments you have about this show to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com, questions, the number four, Taylor, @gmail.com. And of course, we do want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. Our sponsors for today's show: Novo Resources, Eloro Resources, Hannon Metals, Labrador Gold Corp, Lion One Metals, SK Mining Corp, and Firefox Gold. I've titled today's show The Monetary Path to Hell. James Turk, Michael Oliver, and Quentin Henning return as this week's guests. America's founding fathers defined the dollar in terms of a set amount of gold and silver because they understood that fiat money, that is money mandated by law, would enable politicians and well-connected citizens to engage in counterfeit robbery of honest, hardworking people and thereby deprive them of their natural rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Fast forward to 2021, in a world of massive money manipulation and debasement of the Federal Reserve, of the dollar by the Federal Reserve, when Americans are confined to their homes, mandated to be vaccinated, forced to wear a mask, told when and what and with whom they can assemble, and what they are allowed to say. Meantime, middle-class wealth has been redistributed since we went off the gold standard, and that process has been accelerating in recent years, along with the acceleration of new money created out of nothing. And that has resulted in a relatively few number of Americans becoming filthy rich with this legalized, really is a legalized, what amounts to a counterfeiting system. The extreme redistribution of wealth would have been impossible had Richard Nixon not removed gold from the dollar in 1971. But it's not just a loss of material wealth that has been lost by masses of Americans that is most egregious as of our national our dishonest monetary system. Perhaps even more important is our loss of freedom and liberty because, as Ron Paul used to like to say very often, if we are free, we will become prosperous. Of course, when money is controlled, we become far less free. Because it is not in the best interest of our policy-making monetary thieves to have you understand how dishonest money leads to the destruction of capitalism and thus leads to overall poverty and massive wealth inequality, very few Americans have been taught to understand how destructive the elimination of gold from gold and or silver from our money has become, and why America's decline as a superpower is also now on the line. James Turk will be joining me in the second half of today's show to explain all of that. In just a few minutes, Quentin Henning will be joining me to talk about an emerging large-scale gold and silver-rich VMS deposit in British Columbia that SK Mining is exploring and developing. But right now, I'm really pleased to tell you that Michael Oliver is with me to give us his latest views on the markets. So thank you, Michael. Very good to have you with us. I'm here. Can you hear me, Michael?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you fine, and I'm glad that you could be with us.
Okay.
All right. So, Michael, I don't know your you know, I'd like to ask you to sort of get an overall view of your, before we get into the specific markets, just get an overall view of how you see the world right now, the markets. What is your current assessment of the global economy and the financial markets? And then we'll ask you about some specific markets.
Okay. I think that they're all hinged together now. And I don't mean in the same direction, but I mean if one of them pivots big, the others will pivot big. I think gold and silver are still postured to re-engage upside out of this congestion. But I think one thing you got to watch is the stock market, particularly the U.S. stock market, which is the biggest bubble in U.S. stock market history. The low we made on the S&P yesterday, by our metrics, is precisely on a structure that has been hit three prior times since last October. It's now the fourth hit on the line. Now, if you look at a price chart, you don't see any similarity between those lows, but on the momentum, it's a flat structure. And I think that you don't keep hitting something like that, not with the intent of breaking it at some point. And when you do, I think it will be very noisy. The fact that they bounced off of it again yesterday reinforces our view that our weird little number, which rises every week, is in fact valid. Now, we also have some other numbers in the NASDAQ 100 and other. The bank index is already starting to break through some big stuff. So I think that's a problem area. And the problem is that our central bank has created a monster through QEs over the last 13 years, et cetera, and their stimulus programs, and they can't let it come apart. And if it starts to in a way that creates doubt or fear, even I'm not talking crash, just enough drop to where people say, oh my goodness, there's a problem here. They're going to have to somehow again reverse course. And that's going to be intellectually embarrassing for them. And it might even be delayed, which is something they can't afford. So I would watch that market very, very carefully because I think it's critical. And once it goes, I think a whole lot of things will go. The other thing, energy. We know we have an energy problem, particularly in Europe, a major problem. Germany has shut down a lot of nuclear plants. Their dependence on outside energy is now off the page. They're tottering, and it could affect their economy big time. You're talking the central economy of Europe now. And Putin, with his troops on the border thing with the Ukraine, I think is a ploy. And I think it's a ploy that he really knows his real weapon. And I was telling my son, Brett, a minute ago on the phone that imagine this picture. There's this guy sitting here drinking a vodka, sitting in a lonely room in a powerhouse or some kind of power-type situation back in Russia. And he's got a switch in front of him, and it's an on-off switch for natural gas to Europe. Okay. Yeah. And it says on the switch, wait for Putin's call. Okay. Putin has so much power over Europe right now that everybody can look at the troops and all that stuff. All he's got to do is say, you guys don't meet my demands about further growth of NATO toward our borders, et cetera.
Right.
Et cetera. And so far they're not doing anything along those lines. He can simply say, oh, okay, you know, and then flip the switch. Or flip it for a while, or turn it halfway. Europe will collapse, especially in the winter. And so my bet is if he's going to have some kind of crisis situation, which he's sitting on top of right now because of that factor, it's likely to occur in the winter, in the next several months. So that's another very interesting variable, which could, of course, do what? Take our very sub-priced natural gas and put it up toward some kind of level, at least toward where the European prices are, which would help create an energy crisis here, and plus would help oil continue its trek north. So there's all kinds of dominoes here that are ready to go. And I think all of them ultimately fall on top of the central bank.
I'm looking at a chart here, Michael. When you talk about the market, the equity market, you're looking at the S&P 500, and I see that flat structure you're talking about in momentum. Looks like it hit down there one, two, three, it's like four times now or something like that in the last couple years.
Now, you don't do that without the intent of later using it. The only question is when, and the number it takes to break that structure is a certain percentage over its 40-week average. It varies every week. It rises every week. So, you know, it's like a little minefield that keeps coming up under their feet. So, you know, I'm just sitting back watching it because I know it's going to happen. It's just a matter of which week they begin to do it. And there's other comparable indexes that have similar type structures. So when that happens, it's going to be fun and games for the people who don't like central banks to see how these guys mouth their way out of this.
Yeah, let's see if they can at some point in time. I mean, do you still, you were worried a few weeks back about the corporate bond picture. How is that looking now?
Well, the junk bond market, HYG is an ETF, the JMK. This is high yield corporate debt, U.S. It made new lows for the year over the last three or four weeks ago. New lows for the year. Compare that to the S&P. Nobody's talking about it. But I'm sure the Fed is, I'm sure, aware of it quietly and nervously. But all these things are, just sit back, relax. And I think once we get closer to these events, the structure on the S&P, the natural gas situation, et cetera, et cetera, you're going to get a final upside in the silver and gold that breaks through the structures we've defined. And those structures, especially in the case of silver, which did not break out in November when gold did not confirm gold, its numbers dropping by over a dollar.
Wow.
For next quarter. Well, next quarter is how many trading days away?
Yeah.
Down around 24.30 will do it for silver. So anyway, it's getting very interesting, and a lot of events are tied very much together with one outcome, I think, ultimately for gold and silver.
Yeah, gold can't seem to get above 1,800. Is there any... You know, you expressed some concerns caution the other day, a couple of weeks ago. Are you still worried about the potential for gold taking a plunge?
Not so much anymore. No, in fact, we pulled our risk alert because after that litmus test sell-off we had Wednesday last week on the Fed minutes, where they took gold and took it through 9 weeks of lows, which were all like in the 1760s. They took it down towards 1750. That lasted for minutes, and then it immediately bolted back to the upside. Rally high, get up to 1814. Now we've pulled back into the 1780s. I'd like to see the month close out, you know, here or higher, be fine. We're above the three-quarter average, by the way, which is 1778. So being above that is a comfy thing. It's not a major structure. But in the case of silver, it's about $2 above the market. About $2 above the market. I'm going to engage it on the upside next quarter. So it's not going to take a lot to do that. And it's something to watch, and we'll pound the table when it happens.
Do you think? I know that you know there's this dynamic that always seems to go into effect when the market goes down. You see money flowing into the bond market, the treasury market, the government bonds. Do you think for the equity market to really fall apart, to unravel to the downside, we're going to need to see interest rates get out of control of the Fed?
I think ultimately they will, but in the short run, I still think the T-bonds and the long debt, U.S. government debt, not corporate debt, U.S. government debt, long-term, 10-year and longer, is a place for people to hide. It's still perceived to be that. And I think it will enjoy one more upside route, meaning drop in rates. And then ultimately, issues like the government debt solvency, inflation, et cetera, will take over, and then you'll have rising yields. Mm-hmm. But for the time being, I still think it's too premature to short bonds on that expectation. Instead, treat them as an escape valve for people who are nervous. Mm-hmm. I think they'll still function that way over the next month or so, especially when that S&P starts to break. Asset managers will say, I got to move it somewhere. Where are you going to move it? Okay. Yeah. Safe long-term government bonds. That's one place they'll go.
So you're talking 10-year? Is that? Did I hear you say that?
I would go out like 2020 and more. TLTE ETF is for 20-year plus government debt, or the 30-year bonds. These are further out of control of the Fed.
Yeah,
they don't have that much influence there. So,
but you don't want to park money there, then, do you?
Oh no, no, it's strictly a safe place to be for a while. You know, like a month.
Sure.
Or so,
In the panic. Right. I got you.
In a panic period.
See some more downward movement in the yields. Of course, that can be very profitable at the same time. So, that's been a crazy trade for many decades now. And, you know, just stay in the bond market. For the longest time, you make more money in the bond market than you did in the stock market after 1980s, after the big peak in 19 the Volcker peak in 1980. Anyway, we have to leave it go at that, Michael. Thank you so much for your insights.
Hey,
always appreciate it, and Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you, and we'll look to talk to you in the new year again. Thank you.
To you and your audience. Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mike. All right. We've got Quentin Henning coming up next. We're going to break now, but don't go away. He'll be here to give us an update on SK Mining's district-scale gold-silver-rich, BMS project in British Columbia. So you won't want to miss what he has to say if you're interested in finding a major prospect, one that can, well, some people think that this one has the potential to be as lucrative for investors as Great Bear's Dixie project. But we'll have to wait and see. Quentin will be right back with us right after the break, so don't go away.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
SK Mining Corp, trading under the symbol ESK on the TSX Venture and ESKYF on the OTCQB, is a mineral exploration company targeting precious metals, rich VMS deposits in the heart of British Columbia's Golden Triangle. SK Mining controls a prospective land package totaling 130,000 acres, which lies across a geologic trend that once hosted the prolific SK Creek Mine. With a world-renowned geological team, funding in place, and shareholders such as Eric Sprott, SK Mining is on the cusp of a world-class discovery. Go to skmining.com to subscribe for updates.
The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network. The professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics, strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America Business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business talk.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Follow us on Twitter at Voice America TRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's Voice America TRN.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.